Beloved, at the time of Jesus, leprosy was not a single disease. It was much more a class of diseases. They were all skin ailments. They were contagious, and they marked the body and marked the soul. And the one that was stricken with any of this class of diseases, they were ostracized. They were isolated. They were cut off because of the contagious nature of the disease. They were often in colonies where this is actually a picture of a real modern day colony of men and women with this class of diseases. They still exist. Leper colonies still exist. And no one will come near. If food is brought, it's left outside where the ones who are in must wait until those who have brought the provisions are gone, and then they come out. All their dignity, all their humanity, all their hope is lost. But there were moments in the ancient times. There were moments when those who were stricken with disease had to leave the place that they had created as home. They had to leave the colony because maybe their source of water dried up, or maybe a plague of snakes had moved in, or maybe there was no more room to bury those who died. And when they left what they had created as home and ventured out into the world, they had to cry, unclean, unclean, so that everybody in the space near them would see them and move away, afraid of the contagious nature of the disease. Unclean, unclean. No longer did they have names. No longer did they have place in community. They only had this stigma and this title of unclean. That's where we meet them in this morning's text. There is a colony. There are 10 people who have been stricken with disease, and they've left wherever they were, and they are on their way to someplace else. And the word tells us that Jesus met them on their way. And when they encounter Jesus, it says from a distance, because they knew they couldn't approach him, from a distance, they cried out, Master! Jesus. The use of the term master is a technical term. No one called Jesus master unless they were a disciple. This means they knew something about him. Maybe one among them had once heard him preach. Maybe one among them had once attempted to follow him. Maybe one among them had been raised in a family where they knew Messiah was coming, and someone had said, this seems to be the Messiah. But they stood afar off and cried out, and into this scene of misery and the absence of hope, into this scene, Jesus comes. And the text is clear. They called to Jesus, but the text says Jesus saw them. And saw is a word of importance in this story. And if you go back and read the story, you will see where it says Jesus saw them is really not necessary for the story. You can tell by what's happening that he saw them because he responds to them. But the writer chooses to enter this word, Edo. He saw them. It means more than to perceive with the eyes, although it means that as well. Edo in the Greek means to see and to see the deeper meaning. It means to see and to see the worth. It means to see and to cherish. And it means to see and to be moved in such a way that you want to ascertain what should be done next. Jesus edoed them. He saw them. He saw them with his eyes, and he knew from their condition what was going on in their lives. He saw them with his eyes, and he was moved to cherish them. because he saw in their very being that they were made in the image and likeness of God. He saw in their very being that they were children of the Most High God. He saw, and because they called him Master, they must have been Jewish, and so they would have been taught that this Messiah was coming. He saw them and he knew they were worthy. Worthy of life lived in abundance. In another gospel, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He saw them and he wanted them to have that abundance. He ascertained what must be done next. And in the story, as you read and as it unfolds, Jesus sees them and then he sends them. Look carefully at that word. He sees them, and the next thing he says is, go and see the priests. There's no word of healing. There's no word of forgiveness. There's no word from them of confession. He sees them and he sends them. It's another sign that they're Jewish, because if you had a skin disease in that time, the only way you could reenter the community is if the priest declared you clean. He sees them. He sees them and he sends them. And they are people of faith, because they begin their journey to the priest. And if you read the text, you can see it very clearly. It says, as they made their way, they were healed. That means they turned and headed before the healing came. They had their own faith. They were Jewish. They knew what it meant to go to the priest. Jesus told them what to do, and they started on their way. I can't be so mad at the nine. There is much about them that commends them. They heard the word and it moved in their being. They heard the word and it quickened their heart. They heard the word and they obeyed. But only one returned. Notice when you read that text that Jesus does not upbraid the nine. He does not criticize them. He does not offer a word of castigation. He does not offer a word of condemnation. He's curious. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? That's all he says about them. Remember, they have been obedient. He told them to go and they went. He does not take them on. But something in that text causes one to turn back. Why does this one turn back? Where are the 9? And why does this one turn back? Because if you read in the text, again that word Edo is used. First, Jesus sees them. But then it says clearly that the one who turned back, as he was going, he saw Edo, that he was made whole. Skin that had been part marked was now clean. Limbs that would not work were now useful. Pain that had racked his body and fever that had taken over his mind was now gone. As he, along with the other 9, made his way, he saw, he Edo'd that he was made whole. He perceived with his eyes that he was made well. He cherished this moment that this skin no longer marked him as one who had to be outside of the camp. And here is the point. He ascertained that there was something that must be done. And in his mind, what must be done was to turn and with a loud voice praise God and to fall at Jesus' feet and to thank him. He saw. The text does not tell us that the other 9 saw. Maybe they were so excited by their healing, all they could do was run toward home. Maybe they were so afraid it wouldn't last, all they could do was run toward the priest. Maybe they didn't even think they deserved it, so they were going to run and hide. They did not see in this way, but the one who turned back saw. Where are the 9? They are running off to take advantage of this gift. But when I hear this question today, where are the 9? I think we are the 9. And here's what I mean by that. Those lepers were so blessed. And again, Jesus does not criticize them. They were so blessed and so overwhelmed, they went toward the priest or wherever they went, because the text is not clear where they really went. We just know they went. But the difference in the one that came back and us, the reason we're the nine, is because Jesus and God blesses us on a regular basis. You and I are sitting in a place where we come to worship on Sunday and we don't fear anyone telling us that it is against state rule to worship. You and I will go home to food. And you and I will go home to having known that we've been in a community that regards us well and loves us. Even with all of those prayers that we prayed, even as I prayed when I didn't see Elaine and Andre here and my stomach was sort of turning loops, I literally said, God, no matter what is going on, I am surrounded by a community that will hold me and love me. We are blessed to bring this sweet baby girl into this fold of God, blessed with riches enough to pay our bills, with riches enough to have roofs over our head, with riches enough that make the rest of the world pale in comparison. We are blessed and we cherish God. We are grateful. We thank God. We gather here, and it is not uncommon through the week people tell me things that they're thankful for. It's not uncommon on Sunday for someone to say this has happened. Just like Paula was thankful Joan was with her this morning. We perceive with our eyes God's blessings, and we are grateful and we cherish what God has done, but it's that last point. We forget to ascertain what must be done next. My brothers and my sisters, each of us is blessed in order to grow stronger. Each of us is blessed in order to stand taller. Each of us is blessed so that we may have a story to tell about this God who loves us. Each of us is blessed so that we may be able to go out into the world and stand strong and say, even in the difficult times, I'm blessed. Even when I'm praying about things that may break my heart, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I am in the presence of God. I'm blessed because I know there is this God who loves me and holds me through it all. I'm blessed just because I'm surrounded by His love. We are blessed to be a blessing. You see, each time blessing comes to us, it strengthens us to offer it. It strengthens us to open ourselves to share it. It strengthens us to do exactly what the prophet Micah told us to do. You see, we receive our blessings in fullness. We cherish God. And now we have to ask, God, how do you want me to use this blessing? Maybe I'm just supposed to tell somebody about it. Maybe I am supposed to feel it in such a way that I share it. But Micah tells us, you know what's good and you know what God requires. As you are blessed and strengthened, Zena, as you are blessed and made stronger, as you are blessed and elevated in my love, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do justice. I want you to love mercy, and I want you to walk humbly with me. How do we do that? Ah, it changes for each of us. How do we do that? We do it in a way that fits our circumstances. Justice this morning may be that when you go home, you sweep somebody's steps off, whether they deserve it in your heart or mine or not. Justice this morning is setting right that there is this thing that you want to work on, and you can only do a little bit of it, but that's okay. Justice is speaking up for someone who may be left out. Justice is whatever it means to you as you understand God's desire to make the world better and right and fair and just. And love mercy? Mercy is that quality that we extend to people who don't deserve it. And as I'm blessed, as I'm strengthened, as I'm forgiven, I'm more able to do that. That's how I use my blessing, to offer mercy. And as I'm blessed, as I'm drawn closer and closer to God in my blessing, instead of acting as if I've deserved it, which may have been a little of what was going on with the nine, I become like the one, and I come back and I thank God. And I walk humbly with God. Ah, where are the nine? They are out. Where's the one thanking God and choosing to use that blessing to teach us today what it is to cherish and seek the way to apply our blessing beyond us. God pours on us that we might pour out on the world. May you and I see. May we Edo. May we, yes, perceive with our eyes what God is doing. Yes, may we cherish it and thank God for it. But then may we understand it and ascertain what it is we are to do next now that we have been blessed. For the world is looking for the church to be light, to be hope, to be path, to be blessing spread abroad. And God calls you and me into that service. Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad, but you and I can be the sunshine making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing to someone, Lord, this day. Amen.